You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We'll get to Kyle Busch here in just a moment. His tragic passing and some of the new information that we're getting today regarding his condition, and died at the age of 41 yesterday. But today also marks the end of CBS Radio News. 99 years. Some of the biggest names broadcast on CBS Radio News. Let me read you just a couple. Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite, Charles Osgood, Dan Rather.
Just 4 months shy of the 100-year anniversary.
CBS Radio News, and I know we're primarily an ABC News affiliate, but we do have CBS News. They will broadcast their last newscast at 11:31 tonight.
That's so sad.
We are all here because of what they developed and started 100 years ago.
Here is the first broadcast on CBS Radio News in 1927.
We don't have it because it was just music from the Howard Barlow Orchestra.
This is awkward. Sam, I would like you to sing.
The Columbia Broadcasting System debuted their broadcast over a network of 16 radio stations that day. Again, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, music by the Howard Barlow Orchestra.
I'm a big fan.
From the WOR studios in Newark, New Jersey.
Bangers.
Their first day was
bangers.
Just music.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's Edward R. Murrow. Do we have this one?
That we have, yes.
Covering World War II from England.
This is London. Tonight, London is a city of song and celebration and thanksgiving. There are fireworks and parties. Air raid shelters are as remote as the covered wagon. Many words have been spoken and much drink has been consumed. London has been somewhat hysterical and still is. The organized killing has ended in Europe. The young men of many nations have suffered, sacrificed, and achieved victory. The coming months and years will reveal what will be done with that victory.
That is brilliant writing.
And delivery.
Absolutely brilliant.
And delivery.
CBS Radio News dies tonight at 11:31. All right, what's the latest on Kyle Busch and his sad passing?
So there's some reporting out there that he was in a racing simulator. He was training. And came out of that very sick, like disoriented, not making sense kind of thing. At some point between them finding him like that and rushing to him to the hospital, he reportedly lost consciousness. And TMZ got the phone call, the 911 call. He was said to be struggling to breathe, overheating, and coughing up blood. And there have been some doctors who have weighed in on this over the last 24 hours and said the coughing up blood could be many things, but the concern would be a blood clot, history of trauma to his leg, which I didn't know this, but a while back he had a bad open laceration to his leg a couple of months ago, and there's also a chance the sinus infection that he was being treated for became pneumonia, and somehow that or something else led to sepsis if there was a blood clot in that lung. I don't follow racing. I've said this.
You knew the name, though,
right? I knew the name.
Oh, sure.
But when someone in, you have to be such an athlete, and I mean that. I know enough to know about NASCAR and motorsports. Those are athletes.
Absolutely.
You have to be in the top physical shape to withstand the forces as you're going around, right? And I just think for someone at age 41 with young babies at home,
to be able to hold that,
that it makes no sense someone that healthy could be dead at the age of 41.
And he was having some health struggles and racing through them. I wonder what that stress did to his body as it was trying to recover from some of those issues. I mean, We have evidence now of issues dating back 2 weeks, and he kept on racing. And you can't fault him for it. It's what he does.
No, because if you thought you had a sinus infection, Sam, and maybe he did. I'm sure he's got access to the best doctors in the world, to the point that while he was racing a couple weeks ago, he called for a doctor to meet him in the bus after the race. He said, I need a shot. I'm not feeling well. Thought it was a sinus infection. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, if they had thought this was something so emergent, he would have been hospitalized back then. I think, you know, you think something is a sinus infection and maybe it wasn't.
It also,
maybe it was much more.
It shows that it was a problem that he had been dealing with regularly because he told his pit crew, I need the shot.
Yeah.
Like they
the
would know
shot,
what he
not
was talking
a shot.
About. Yeah.
Huh.
By the way, we had mentioned yesterday that he had 63 Cup Series wins, two championships. What we failed to mention was that
all
he
the
is
wins.
The winningest mm-hmm. racer in NASCAR history.
Is it 265 total wins?
234 combined victories, including the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series.
And I think I read 9 wins here.
Yeah.
9 wins here.
Winningest racer at Kansas Speedway. Yep.
I'll be darned. God bless him and his two young children and his beautiful wife. They had become proponents. I was watching the Today Show this morning. They had become big-time advocates for IVF mm-hmm. and helping people who otherwise cannot afford IVF find ways that they can. Because obviously Kyle Busch was rich, and he and his wife struggled with infertility, and they have two beautiful children now through IVF. But what they wanted to promote and advocate for was that a lot of people don't have the resources that they have and find ways to be able for other people who could not afford it to be able to afford it.
And thank you, text line. Tough year for NASCAR. We lost Greg Biffle and his family.
That's
earlier
right,
this
in
year
the plane
well.
Crash.
Yep.
That's right. Story here from CBS News. It still does exist, but the radio news will die tonight. Two Indian climbers have died on Mount Everest during a record-breaking period of ascents from Nepal's southern route, as experts warn of overcrowding on the world's highest peak.
I'm going to need you to pull up the photo when we talk. You heard of it in Dan's newscast. When you hear about the overcrowding on Everest, mm-hmm. Picture the line to get into a Taylor Swift concert. I think it's a double-edged sword. They need the tourism there. It single-handedly supports the economy. It supports the Sherpas and their families.
They've built their economy
They've
around it.
They've built their economy around it. But at some point, and we've seen the trash and the debris.
The bodies.
And we had the bodies, certainly, but the oxygen canisters left behind. At some point, it's too much.
And people are lining up like at a concert.
Yes.
And they're trying to get up to the top so they can take their selfie.
And the problem is, Dan, you know this, you might be able to get up. The people, when they die coming down.
Yeah, it's not over once you touch the top. You still have to climb down, and you're still up there.
The vast majority of the deaths, Scott, are those trying to come back down.
What is it, 274 that are trying to get to the top right now? That is not the record, by the way. The record in a single day was 354 in 2019.
And it begs the question, from my view, of can you choose something else to do with the money that you've raised or that you have?
What does it cost to try to get to the top? Is it like $20,000?
No, more than that? It's like 100 grand or over.
Yeah.
Because you have to hire the teams that are now in the business of getting you to base camp and then up and up and up, that then hire the guides, have the walkie-talkies, have the
it can range from $45,000 to well over $160,000. Mm-hmm. The average trip is $65,000. The permit alone is $15,000.
That's how that entire economy survives. But I just think it's gotten too commercial. What used to be something rare and spectacular, you see lines like that, and
it's Instagram before Instagram.
Yes,
was a thing.
They can't. There's no way they can guarantee your safety on the way back down when it's that crowded. Because there's a log jam. I don't remember what you call that pass, Dan. There's a peak and a pass right before you get to the top. There is no just going around people. It is a funnel. And it is a log jam, and that is where we see the deaths.
What is the one thing in your lifetime you will never do? Is this it?
Oh, absolutely
would
not.
It's not.
I would never do it.
I understand. What is the number one thing you would never do?
Does this outrank the hot air balloon ride, I think is what he's asking.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm asking. Thank you, Sam.
Any of those things. I always joke, any of the things that would nullify my life insurance, I ain't doing.
Parachuting.
Hell no. Absolutely not.
Hot air balloon.
No.
Is that number one?
No. I think parachuting would come before hot air balloon, but you would never get me into either.
Hmm.
I have a great life. I love my life. I don't need that adventure adrenaline.
I don't either.
Where I think I'm going to die to, at this point, somehow fulfill me. I'm pretty damn happy watching the Royals game on the couch.
I want to live.
You come down after a parachute jump and you'll probably change your tune.
Everybody swears by it, Dan, not me. I did the I fly in the machine.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not handle the blast of air. I found it very hard to breathe with that much air. Whoo! It's just not my
thing. Is there like a safe signal that you're supposed to give to the people there?
I do believe me saying pretty quickly after getting up to about 10 feet that I was done. My kids loved it. They were like, let's go again. I'm like, this is all you.
The safe signal is, oh my God, let me out!
913-586-7798.
I can't breathe, let me out.
We got the grievances coming your way right after 5 o'clock here on Dana and Parks. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour of the program, what major U.S. company, and I mean major U.S. company, says those recyclable cups that you're getting at their restaurant are not recycled, and they're not recyclable. You've been had.
Yeah, I think that's one global problem that we need to figure out, but I'm not sure how we do it.
I'll tell you, there's been a sea change in me. I realize that when I get done with a jug of milk, if it's in a plastic container, and yeah. For whatever reason, I didn't get Chateau that day, I can go ahead and clean that thing out as much as I want and waste electricity and water trying to clean it out, only for it to end up in Vietnam. So I just throw them away now. I've given up.
Most of it ends up in Death and Ball anyway.
It breaks my heart, but we've talked to enough people about it. We need to figure out how to, the first R in reduce, recycle, and reuse is reduce. We need to figure out the reduce, right?
I think we've had people tell us who work in the industry that only 10% of the stuff that is in your recycling container that you put out on a Wednesday morning or a Thursday morning, whatever, ends up actually getting recycled. It's usually paper, some paper products, some cardboard products, and aluminum. Aluminum's the big one.
Anything with food or drink residue on it cannot be recycled.
Your pizza box.
Yep. Cannot be recycled. There's also states now cracking down on the use of the three arrows chasing each other on products because manufacturers would put that on there to say, we're good for the environment, we're recyclable.
Yeah.
With little to no regulation of whether or not that product was actually recyclable.
But what they're saying is we are recyclable. And they're not lying.
Right.
You could recycle that product.
You could, but what happens once the recycle company picks it up, that's not
they
on the product
that's
people.
Right. That's right.
On the company.
Mm-hmm.
One more update in the Kyle Busch story. The Richard Childress Racing Team retired the number 8 car in honor of Kyle Busch. In their announcement, they said the only time they will unretire it is if his son Brexton,
who, by the way, is getting into racing at the age of 11,
makes it all the way to the top and needs a car.
Okay.
He's getting dad's number 8.
Hmm. The Pentagon today released a new batch of 64 files related to UFOs, unveiling a second tranche. Where did this word come from, tranche, by the way?
Yeah, it's rarely used, and I don't know why they would use it there.
Of records that include a 2025 firsthand account from an intelligence officer about an experience that left him, quote, virtually speechless. The files, which the president ordered to be made public in an executive order earlier this year, can be viewed on the Pentagon's UFO website. Friday's files, I'm not going to use the word tranche anymore, include 6 PDFs, 7 audio files, and 51 video files. Okay.
There was one that I read yesterday that was like a star-shaped, I think it said, something that, and I didn't click on the video, but it was an intelligence officer who saw like orbs, discs and fireballs in New Mexico.
Can I ask a question? Because this annoys me.
Yeah.
Why can't they release the files?
Yeah.
Which they did. And somebody in authority, somebody who's done research, don't pretend to me that people at the Pentagon aren't trying to figure out what these things are. Of course they are. Why can't somebody in authority, some big four-star general, come out and say, here is what we think this is?
Yeah, we don't know, but this is what we think.
What they're doing is they're releasing all these files and then just saying, you guys
figure
it out.
Multiple videos were published in this release. One video captured in October 2022, this is the one I want you to look at, shows a cigar-shaped, fast, spherical, unidentified flying object of some sort flying over a street. Another clip from February 2023 appears to show a U.S. Air Force fighter jet shooting down a UAP over Lake Huron.
And where is said UAP?
Well, it does not say. The
Area 51.
U.S. intelligence officer who described seeing the orbs and the flares were oval-shaped, orange with a white or yellow center, and emitted light in all directions. The officer and the pilots later saw those orbs appear over fighter jets nearby. I remarked to the pilots, that seems like the same orbs we encountered, and it looks like they're now chasing the fighter jets.
Yeah.
We also observed orange orbs flaring up and down at us for several minutes, forming a distinct triangle before vanishing. After landing, I briefly spoke with them, mostly to express thanks. We were virtually speechless.
The 51 videos included in the second release include the type of grainy, if I read that word one more time.
It's always grainy footage.
Grainy infrared footage captured by military cameras and sensors that has become familiar over the past several years. So you're telling me, Sam, you have ruined my life. You're telling me that we have camera technology, and I know these are big, super gigantic, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Orbs.
To look into space. telescopes. To look into space where we can see the perfect coloring of a galaxy that is so far away, nobody on this planet ever will be able to get there.
Right.
But when we got an orange orb flying around, it's always grainy.
Which part of that one do you think is a lie?
The grainy one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I mean,
you should watch the videos because it's...
A lot of the reason these videos are grainy, though, is because the infrared technology that is on these jets is not designed to zoom in to 100x.
And it's at night. A lot of the videos they've released are at night.
The whole idea is picking up heat patterns. So they're looking for threats. In theory, that's why these scanners are on these jets, is they would be looking for threats in enemy territory. So they're not designed to give you a 4K picture. They're designed to say
enemies in our territory is what I think you meant to say.
Well, if we're flying over enemy territory, they're designed to say, hey, there's a heat sequence here. There might be a person there.
The number of law enforcement officers, Air Force, high level intelligence personnel who have seen these things. This isn't Marge from Chicago, which I know you don't believe that story, but I do.
I don't.
These are people high up in the military and or police officers who are all in these files saying they all saw the same thing. Those are the ones I believe. Believe the Air Force pilots.
I do. I don't believe that one city in Michigan that you made me waste 30 or 60 minutes of my life on.
So good.
Watching, it was terrible. Watching that documentary, nobody had a camera. It's crazy.
They were in awe.
Oh.
There's so many Navy flyers and commercial airline pilots in these files.
Then why don't they have a bunch of four-star generals come out and say, this is what we think this is? It's you know, some sort of super incredible technology that the Russians have created or the Chinese, or we think we may have been visited. What are they hiding from us?
I don't think they know.
Then why release it? Just so we can all speculate on what it is?
We're all going to
fill
do that
up
30 anyway,
minutes of radio time.
By the way, tranche is actually pronounced
tranche.
It is a French word that means slice or cut.
Well, of late, I've noticed it's become the go-to journalism word is tranche.
Yeah.
Listen to this one from, I think it was 2013. A squadron of F-A-18 fighter jets headed out for aerial maneuvers off the coast of Virginia Beach, and the routine drill turned much less routine when the jets' radars started picking up a cluster of a half a dozen objects flying along with them, moving acrobatically. At some moments, the objects ripped along side to side at 402 miles per hour. Then suddenly, they would stand utterly still in winds themselves that were moving 172 miles per hour. Gusts that had the jets struggling to maintain position. The objects had no visible exhaust, no discernible means of propulsion, and looked like nothing in any aircraft in the nation's civilian or military arsenal. Measuring 5 to 15 across, there were dark gray or black cubes inside of a clear sphere. Quoting here from former Navy Lieutenant Ryan Graves, who was in the air that day, we almost hit one of them. We came within 50 feet of the lead aircraft, and that's really when we knew we were dealing with something abnormal.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks, here on KMBZ. Yeah, we need Goose and Mav. They'll find out the truth. By the way, Sam had a great point. Textline also shares the same point. Why do you think they're releasing it right now, guys? Come on. Epstein files, the economy, gas prices, a $2 billion slush fund.
I mean, in all honesty, you could have stopped at Epstein files.
Yeah.
That release should have led to the downfall of a lot of people.
Still waiting.
And here we are, just hanging out. Well, we have evidence that you're a creep, but yeah, whatever. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Last night on Colbert, if you missed it, I did not. I had somebody peeling paint off the wall, so I was able to watch it live and then watch a lot of other stuff until 4 o'clock this morning. Thank you, T. Paul McCartney showed up. Check this out. Tell everybody what they I can't play it. I'm not going to get us fired.
The best thing, Sam, that happened was he had his band or the producers or whomever just start playing unlicensed music. And he's like, oh, man,
no,
that would be
licensed. Music.
That would be terrible. They did not have the license to play the music right, that he was playing. He goes, oh, hope this doesn't cost CBS any money. And then they would just aim and fire with something they're not supposed to
play. That is great.
Absolutely
that's
brilliant.
So good.
The only thing that would have been better is if they had like a ticker on the screen, like, oh, that's $2,000.
Yes, yes.
Oh, $3,000.
That would have been funny. I might have nodded off at that point. I did hear somebody say this morning, and I think it's true, and I think it's sad. That when, you know, Colbert goes off the air last night. There's Kimmel. There's Jimmy. Oh, my God. Help me out on NBC.
Fallon,
thank you. And all the others, Seth and the others. When this generation of late night talk show hosts goes off the air, they will not be replaced. And it's not because they're not funny. If you don't think they're funny, it's because you take your politics too seriously.
They've made fun of every president.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about Johnny Ford. Carson. Oh, my. Yes, that's how a lot of young people get their political news.
Mm-hmm.
Daily Show.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah. Not for long.
That's the problem. Well, no, I mean, you mentioned this generation of late-night talk show hosts, the last two generations, or definitely the last generation, probably has never even seen any of the late-night talk shows.
Yeah. And I remember, and I know, Danny, you do too, when we were kids, Mom and Dad would stay up till 10:30 to not watch The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. They stayed up till 10 to watch Carson.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to watch Carson. You go to bed. But the audiences back then were much larger because there was a limited number of options to choose from. if you really need to know, well, there are two reasons why Colbert was taken off the air. Number one was pressure.
Over the merger.
Over the merger with Paramount and whomever. And the other one was at the end when McCartney was playing, if you see his crew all coming down the aisle to join them on the stage and on the rafters up above, that's 250 people.
It's a large staff. I don't think it's any larger than any of your sitcoms that you see on any given night. I mean, it takes a lot of people to put on the programs that we all enjoy.
Yeah, but I mean, can't you get by with it? Is there no fat to cut?
The writers, I don't think, Scott, I don't know. I don't know.
But it's sad because I enjoy, Kimmel's my favorite, but I like Colbert. I like Fallon. Go ahead, Sam. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. One thing with the sitcom and the budgeting is they will get money off of that, off of reruns for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Or could,
If it's good.
You're not going to be replaying Colbert for the next 20 years. Like, Friends was incredibly expensive to make.
Mm-hmm.
They still make a lot of money off of the reruns, and that's because it's still making a lot of money.
And each of the surviving five actors and Matthew Perry's estate still makes $20 million a year each.
Isn't that crazy?
You would never have to work another day in your life, and many of them have not.
Speaking of a lot of money, a former Parent Teacher Association treasurer from Lee's Summit has...
I'm sorry, where?
Lee's Summit.
Oh, yeah. I know that place.
Has pleaded guilty to 9 counts of bank and wire fraud after stealing more than $100,000 from the PTO.
What's her name?
Holly Mickelson.
There it is.
Could face up to 30 years in federal prison without parole. They never do. From 2020 to 2025, Mickelson, 2 K's, by the way, not to be confused with Phil, served as treasurer of the Summit Point Elementary School Parent Teacher Association. It's an elementary school. How does an elementary school PTO have $100,000?
Reserves?
Prosecutors say while serving as treasurer, she made unauthorized withdrawals from the PTA's checking accounts for her personal benefit.
What'd she spend it on?
She wrote checks, signed checks payable to herself, and then used those funds for personal expenses. She withdrew cash from ATMs, transferred the PTA money into her personal accounts. Hmm. And now the children have nothing. Nice job, Holly.
Why is it always a woman?
I don't know, Scott. Men are the serial killers. Mm-hmm. Women are the embezzlers. I don't make the rules. That's just the world we live in.
We got grievances coming your way in just over an hour. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. What is your zodiac sign?
Aries.
Wait, you act like I should know that.
You should. I'm a ram, clearly.
You have the softest heart, but a tough exterior.
Okay.
You outgrow people without warning.
Yes.
Let's see what else. Looks cold, but loves the hardest. Walks away without looking back. Sam, what are you?
Taurus, duh.
Taurus.
I'm the bull.
Loves deeply, but leaves quietly also.
Mm-hmm. Like a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Feels everything, but says nothing.
Feels everything, what's says that look? Nothing.
You know exactly what that look is.
We can talk more after this segment, okay.
Forgives, but truly never forgets.
Oh, I never forget.
Cries alone, then acts unbothered.
Yeah.
Some of these can be shockingly accurate. What's yours? Tell us yours.
I'm a Gemini. Outgrows people without warning. That one's not true. Unbothered, but watching everything. Yes. A little vague, but okay. Walks away without looking back.
Those were the all three of us had that.
Yep. And that's it for me.
Breathes oxygen.
I have an AI.
Yeah, they're pretty vague.
I have an AI warning for you guys, and it's one of those stories that's funny, not funny. Funny, not funny. If it happened to you, not funny, but I'm going to tell you what happened, and you're going to think it's funny. Like, I could say online, because of all the photographic things AI can do, that I am an award-winning painter, and I paint masterpieces, and I could even show you a painting that I, quote, painted that is hanging on my wall, and I could say, I'll do one for you for $100,000. The problem is today, you don't really know online when you're looking at something what's real and what's fake, because all of it can be manipulated. Mm-hmm. In Wichita, a, quote, baker, and I am using that in extreme air quotes, is accused of scamming customers with products that do not align with what was promised on the website. I'm just going to show you. These are some of the cakes that she's claimed to have made. These are some of the cakes. Lovely. And they're, Sam, this looks like art. It's
rose cakes.
Like rose-shaped floral. Think the stuff that you see on the baking shows.
A majestic masterpiece.
Yes, the final reveal where this is art and you're going to be eating this at your daughter's bridal shower. A local baker accused of scamming multiple customers has now refunded their money after two different police departments were called. The situation went on more than a month with cookies and cakes either not being delivered or not matching what was promised. And one of the things I have to tell you is that in one of the photos, the masterpiece that I was talking about, the customer took a photo of what was actually delivered. Oh my gosh, let me see if I can find it. It's hilarious. It looks like if you can picture giving a three-year-old some icing in a tube and telling them to just go nuts blindfolded. That is what these cookies look like.
But isn't there a lot of false advertising in food?
Well, it's one thing to say, this is why they say hamburger is not actual size as it appears commercial.
The one I'm thinking about is Burger King when they're advertising their Whoppers on TV. And the meat and the lettuce and the tomato are sweating.
Perfectly aligned.
They're sweating. They got little beads of water on them.
Yeah.
I've never, and I like Burger King.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
I love the Whopper. I've never opened a Whopper and found it to be sweating.
Now, you know, you can go into a fast food restaurant and demand they make it look like the advertisement.
So what do they do? Just spray water on it?
No, they would have to bring in like oil. The stuff that you see in the ads, it's not even real.
They can reject your demands, but then you have grounds for a lawsuit.
Okay.
America.
Would you describe one of the cookies that...
Hang on, let me get close.
You can't even make out the writing on it. You guys, it's one of the bad.
One of the words is wild.
You cannot make out the other word because it's smudged and... The flowers, it really does look like, when you do like a sugar cookie project with your kids.
These are pre-manufactured. That is not art. Those are pre-manufactured flowers. Because they're all exactly the same.
Yeah, but she tried with the writing to put on, they ordered these specifically. Like, let's say your event was named the Wild Rose, and that's supposed to say Wild Rose.
See, I read...
It says wild
G-maw?
I don't know if that's supposed to be grandma or not.
That's one wild grandma right
there. But if when you look at the photos of what it was supposed to look like, it's so funny. Because the customers opened this and they were like,
that's not what we ordered.
Did you get in a car wreck with my cake before you delivered it?
Did your hand have a stroke?
Yes. Actually, look at the reviews. Before you pull the trigger on something like this, because it's just too easy to manipulate what's out there. It's so funny.
Okay. All right. Man City, my favorite team in the EPL, their manager is quitting. Pep Guardiola said he is at the end of his career with Man City. And it's not for lack of success. He won 3 EPL titles, is going to finish in 2nd this year. He just said, sometimes change is good, and I just don't have the energy I once had.
Good for him.
He is walking away on top.
Good for it. So few do.
Yep.
Good for him.
Much bigger contract waiting in the wings.
Right. Over at Everton or something like that. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Festivus is an hour away.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.